As we go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 3. When you get there, say amen. If you need a minute, say hold up. Or if you're the younger crowd, just say let's bounce when you get there. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to that. Take your seats. Now, as we begin to look at this, we understand, if you understand the whole life and story of Paul, he's dealing with the Corinthian church. And Paul, you might say, became an outlaw because of the gospel he preached. It reminds me of a movie, I don't know if y'all know, kind of date myself, but if you remember that movie, Freddy Krueger, it was one of those scary movies. Amen. And when I watched Freddy, you know, I was watching it as a kid, and it hit me more in my adulthood versus my kidhood, because now, you know, sometimes I get a little jittery turn on the lights today because of Freddy. Amen. And the Bible says that he hath not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. And it's kind of crazy to see a grown man walking scared in his own house. Amen. But somehow Freddy would do it to you at times. Amen. And so Paul, he has begun to start his ministry, and Paul has begun to preach a gospel that necessarily wasn't popular to people at that time, and people treated him somewhat as an outcast. I don't know what happened to Freddie. I don't know why they put him in that house and burned him down. I don't know what he did. I mean, y'all may know the story a little bit more than me. I just caught it right there when he was had his claws and trying to kill everybody and all that stuff. But I don't really know what led Freddie to become a horror monster, a horror story. And so it really teaches us that when we stand and step out the box, there's always going to be some kind of opposition that come against you and I, because we are going to be not popular among the majority. And it's a lot of peer pressure, because they're not going to understand, you know, when I can understand when I sit down and talk to the youngsters and they say to me that their friends did it and they didn't want to feel left out. They just wanted to feel in a mix of things. And so that's why they did it. A lot of people have a hard time walking a straight and narrow by themselves. And it's complicated, because when you have three or four people that's going in a direction, and you become that class star, you become hanging out with the stars, and they all going a certain way. And then when you become that person that say, no, I'm not going to go that way, it becomes pressure on the people that's around you. And it's pressuring you to do something that normally you don't want to do. I don't know if y'all with me here. And so Paul here, he separate himself from the people at this time. And the interesting thing is, all of the people that he separated himself from was believers. And we are taught to come to church to be around believers and not separate ourselves from believers. But sometimes we have to look at the certain levels that we are on in our ministry, in our approach. Because just because we're hanging with certain believers don't mean that everybody is going in the same direction with you. Sometime God will surpass, allow you to surpass people that are believers, but God want to do something else with you and with your life and with your testimony, that it will cause you to surpass them. And because we feel so sorry for our friends, we want to look back and try to pull them with us. And what happens is I want to now dumb myself down because I know I'm an A class. I'm an A, straight A student, but my friends is getting B's and C's and D's. And so I won't feel by myself. I'm going to go ahead and drop my grade down to a B, C, and D average because I just want to be with the minority or the majority, and I don't want to just be out there by myself. And it takes a strong individual, and I understand that, and I know it's peer pressure, and I understand that, and it takes fighting, and I understand that, and it's hard when everybody that's around you is going in the opposite direction, and God is telling you to go in another direction. You begin to get, you feel the peer pressure, you be feeling the heartaches, and you sweating, you know. All the preachers around me, I'm not exempt from it, because I can be around a whole lot of preachers that preach the gospels, and bishop that believe in sleeping with multiple women and smoking whatever they do and making money. And if all of them around me and they say, Gary, you need to join a clique, it would be hard for me to say no. It would be because I'm in the midst of them. And now if they're all popular and they all want to now adopt me into their crew, then it will be hard for me to walk away from that. I'm not going to lie to you. But there's something in us that has to trigger. And God said that if the light in you don't shine, then it's going to be hid to those that are lost. And so as we're challenged with this, and as Paul is challenged with this, he have a duty and a responsibility, not only as an apostle of Jesus Christ, but as a man and as a human being that was sent from God to complete a mission that he was supposed to complete on the earth. So you don't have to have a title to do what God has called you to do. Amen. When you look at the apostle Paul, he always referenced himself as the least of the apostles. He always referenced himself as a servant of them that was around him. And he could have been the one that was tooting his horn, and he could have been the one that was saying that he was all that in the bag of chips. He could have said, hey, I'm writing 2/3 of the Bible. I'm outpassing everybody that was in my race. But he always dumbed himself down and said, I am the least of them, because he knew as he began to lower himself that he will begin to raise up the Lord Jesus Christ to now another glory in him. So what I'm saying is, don't get the story twisted. I'm not saying dumb yourself down to become a D, you know, class or an F class because your other friends are. But what you have to do is step outside of the box and say, you know what? I may not can't roll with you right now because I'm accomplishing something. And a good friend is going to always pull their friends above average versus below average. A good friend. A good friend is going to always tell their partner, hey, I know you want to pop this dude for disrespecting you, but what you need to do is, you know, I don't want you to serve a long-term sentence in prison, but let's just walk away from this. Let's just turn our head away from this, and let's just do what God has called us to do. And it's an interesting thing, because when somebody has wronged you and disrespected you and I, that we have what we call testosterone, right? And women do have it too, not just men, because they know how to puff their chests out and all that good stuff, just like men do too. But sometimes we try to prove points and we try to make a difference and try to really get our point across, when sometimes we just need to back up and say, God, you handle this for me. Because sometimes I know if I go off and slip off the handle and say something I regret saying, then I know it can trigger something else that can come down the line. And there's many people that I ran into that was so bold and cussed somebody out in school. And that joker that cussed out in school a week later came back and shot them dead. Right. Because the individual that cussed them out the week before forgot that he cussed them out. And now that joker didn't let that, he didn't know about forgiveness. And so what he did, he went and got his partners and said, you know what, I'll remember what they did to me last week. And the best way he knew how to handle it was to go get a Glock and come back and take care of business. Right. But the other person that did that, he forgot about it. And it's kind of shaky in his heart, because sometimes we forget about what we do. And, you know, we change our life. And it's always an interesting tragedy that happens, because a person that changes his life or her life don't forget about all the stuff they did. And they didn't write letters, apology letters, or they didn't call them on the phone and say, hey, I changed my life and I'm asking for forgiveness. So the person that we did wrong never forget. And don't know, because you didn't write him or her and say, hey, you know, I'm a changed man. But that anger is festering in their life, and they grow on with that anger in their life, and they come back and they meet you. And it's only through the grace of God that they don't get you. And it reminded me of a story when I was a youth pastor, and I had changed my life, and I had, lived a rough life. Told y'all a little bit last week, never banged, but I hung with them. They hung with me and stuff like that. And I remember in high school, we chased some guys down, and they was messing with somebody. We chased them down. We didn't do nothing, and so on like that. And so years later, now I become a youth pastor. Now the Lord changed my life, and he turned my whole life around. And I'm now leading other youngsters, and we go to a park, and the young man that I chased down came back, and I went up to him. One of my partners, he should have told me that he was there, but he comes up to me and say, hey, I want you to see somebody that you ain't seen in a long time. Well, you know, hey, the Bible said you get a renewed mind. So I forgot whatever I've done, you know. And so he brings him up to me. I say, hey, man, praise God. I shook his hand and gave him a handshake and hugged him. He looking at me like, brother, what you doing touching me? Right. And, you know, I didn't have nothing on me at the time. I left home without it, you know. So I'm just going to a youth revival. Amen. And it's only the grace of God that he say, hey, man, I changed my life too in college. But if you really wanted to, I was slipping, as the young folks would say. I was slipping. I was caught with my hands down. And it was only the grace of God that got me out of that jam. Right, right, right. Now, I do believe that the radical folks I was with at the time, you know, they was barely saved. So they would have just did what they had to do as believers too. But I'm just thankful that we didn't have to go that route. So the apostle Paul, I'm just drawing the story, because Paul was, he was a murderer. Paul was, he did some very damnable things. And the believers that was around him saw him do these things. And Paul changed his life for the better. But now he's coming back preaching to people that he crucified. He came back preaching to people that he condemned. He came back preaching to people that he had killed. And Paul now is trying to break through the mold, because the Lord Jesus Christ has changed his life. And if you don't get changed today, there will be a time that you will have a Damascus experience, and you are going to go down that narrow road by yourself, and the Lord Jesus is going to come to you, and he's going to try to pull you out of that jam. Everybody's going to have a Damascus experience. Somebody say Damascus. If you ain't had it now, you will have it. It's going to be a time that you get caught up in a jam and nobody can get you out. Nobody can come bail you out, and nobody can come get you out, but that you're going to have to call on Jesus to come get you out, and he will show up, and that will be a experience. Now, and so when that happens, Paul has to now assemble himself, because he is now challenged now that God has purposed him to now bring a message to people, the same people that he was against. And so you can't be, bombarded or perplexed now when now God changed your life, that you got to go back and win those same very people that you was talking all that smack to. The same people that you was fighting every day. The same people. And God turns that around, because he knows the testimony that you have. An interesting thing about Paul is that everybody respected him from the lifestyle he lived before. And so God is going to always put you back into the arena that you came out of. He's going to put you back in the same. If you was in a club, he's going to change your life and put you right back in there to win those folks out of there. If you was in a gang, he's going to take you out and change your life and put you right back in the hood to preach to those that you was around. And so that's what God did with Paul. And Paul had a lot of opposition because a lot of people wasn't embracing him. And so when you come and approach them and you preach the gospel and they may resist you for a minute, you're not supposed to get discouraged in that. But you believe God and what he said about you and in your life. And then you'll be there long enough to see the manifestation of their life changed. It's many times that I've seen people that I ran across and people that I ran with and ran against that I just stayed there long enough to preach to them and teach to them, and they see my lifestyle begin to change for the better, and they seen the things that I was preaching was real. And that's why I say I want a church that I can be very transparent with, so we don't got to come in hide anything that we did. We don't got to come in trying to put on a mask of somebody else, but you need to be who you are. So tell your neighbor, be who you are. Because we understand, and sometimes we get into a place that we don't trust him with our own lives. Yeah. We don't trust him, and you know, people all the time, you know, they insecure about themselves, and they feel bad, and they feel like they got to get all these makeovers all the time. But God knew you and I before the foundation of this world. And he said, I need you to look the way you are looking. I need you to walk the way you're walking because I have a work to do through you. But if you keep trying to change yourself all the time, if you're trying to keep decorating yourself all the time, you got to, you know, you come to church and act one way, then you act another way outside of church. God said, I can't really use you the way I need to use you. It is not my choosing, but it's God's choosing, and he chose it before the foundation. Somebody say foundation. Are y'all with me here? And so if God chose me to be in that broken family, he did it for his glory. If God chose me to be a part of that gang, he did it for his glory. If he chose me to be in a nightclub, then he did it for his glory. And we are so stuck in the box, and we believe that God cannot move out the box and do something so contrary.
I'm sorry we weren't able to broadcast the entire message because of time, but if you would like to hear more from Bishop Gary R. Johnson, you are invited to come hear him speak at the Empowered Church International every Sunday. Worship services start at 12 noon each and every Sunday. The church is located at 2205 East Palmdale Boulevard, Suite B in Palmdale, California. You may call 877-228-5100 for more information and directions. You may also go to www.gospelforjesus.com to hear a podcast from Bishop Johnson. His messages are posted there for your listening pleasure anytime, anywhere in the world on your listening device.